If you haven't seen the 1987 Planes, Trains, and Automobiles about an uptight New York advertiser and a smooth-talking ring salesman, that's all right, because I'm going to sit here and I'm going to talk about it, and should be a good time. So everybody ready?
Yeah, Jay!
Yeah!
All right. Let's start the show.
Here, Tom Thompson, adventure begins. An exciting spectacle brought to you by NOW and Technicolor Podcast.
Welcome to the heat. Swim on the free. In a technicolor beam, you and me. Caught up in a dream. In a technicolor beam, to the heat.
All right, everybody, and this is Jay, or John, and I'm sitting here with nobody. I'm sitting here with nobody. It's just me, and yeah, this ought to be fun, folks. The thing I've ever actually done a show entirely by myself ever. So this is going to be fun. Hopefully I don't just completely lose all of you instantly. Prone to do that. Now, this should be fun. We've just had a hard time with scheduling as of late, and so it's all right. It's all right. I will truck on until we can kind of get everything sorted out, and we'll see where everything goes from there. But I guess we're gonna try this out with me doing this, and hopefully it doesn't bore the pants off of all you great people and fine folks. So, it's all right. We're gonna make a headway. We really are. Hopefully, we're gonna talk about this movie, and I'm not just gonna ramble on for about 15 minutes because that would be terrible, folks. There's no telling what I would say. Most of it's stupid. So we are just going to kind of start getting into it and go straight for it with Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
During holiday travel, some people get delirious. Some get delayed. And some get Del Griffin.
American light and fixture, director of sales, shower curtain ring division.
Neil Page got all three.
I was on my way home to spend a nice holiday with my family. Instead, I'm in a motel bed with a stranger.
So instead of Thanksgiving with his family, he's spending 3 days with the turkey.
Two happy clams just whistling down the road.
Flintstones, meet the Flintstones, they're the modern Tonic family.
Paramount Pictures presents
Wilma!
Steve Martin.
Ever been to Hawaii?
Yeah.
You see Don Ho while you were there?
See the second show, that's the best one.
Is that right?
Yeah.
John Candy.
Why are you holding my hand? Where's your other hand? Between two pillows.
Those aren't pillows.
In a new film by John Hughes. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
See that Bears game last week?
Yeah, hell of a game, hell of a game.
But, yeah, so the 1987, like I said, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, starring Steve Martin and John Candy. And it's also got Layla Robbins and Michael McKean's in there for about, like, 90 seconds. Like, seriously. Dylan Baker is Owen. That shit's hilarious.
Are you Gus's son?
I'm Owen.
I guess where you need to grow. It's so funny. There's a ton of other people in this movie. They make brief appearances. It's kind of singular points of the movie because most of the movie is literally just John Candy and Steve Martin kind of going along through the motions here. Now, the film kicks off with like Steve Martin sitting at a business meeting. I know, like, if you've ever basically been in like a meeting or just any type of situation where you're having to wait on someone else to make a decision and you have other shit to do, and they just can't seem to make up their mind, and it just keeps going on. Well, that's what he's going through. His boss is like looking over these ads for their magazine or whatnot, and he just cannot seem to make up his mind as to what he actually wants. He's apparently been staring at these damn things for like 5 hours, and at that point, you just want to get up and go, make a damn decision. Like, seriously, bro. Come on now. What is so hard about looking at this thing? Like, what takes 5 hours of staring at that damn magazine cover? That's terrible. But seriously, Steve Martin, he has to make a plane because he's got to get home for Thanksgiving. Now, wait, this is a Thanksgiving movie, people. All right? Thanksgiving. Now, for some reason, while I was looking things up about this movie, I literally found it in a list of top 25 Christmas movies. Now, I don't know if that person was just kind of pulling it out of their butt that day, or maybe they just missed it or didn't kind of think about it. They were just like, this is a holiday movie, and maybe just happened to think it was about Christmas. So, you know, there's anything that could happen. You know, we're not going to like, I'm not going to like tear anybody down about it, but I'll be like, this is not a Christmas movie. And I'm a guy that says Die Hard is a Christmas movie. So, you know, in all seriousness, it's not a Christmas movie. They blatantly say Thanksgiving in the film. But that's neither here nor there. So, like I say, he's trying to get down there, and he's trying to get to his cab. And on his way to his cab, you know, like, you know, he's trying to wrestle this like 5 o'clock freaking traffic in New York to make a plane at 6 o'clock. Now, he's already been told, you know, this isn't gonna, you're not gonna do it, man. It's just not gonna happen. Why don't you just take the later flight? And he's like, determined, no, I'm gonna do it. So he gets out there. He finally, Chase, him and Kevin Bacon apparently race down a fucking cab. They're like, I need, I'm getting to a cab. I will beat you. And, but anyway, you know, it's kind of here and over there. But, so Neil, which is still Steve Martin's character, he actually, gets a cab waved down. What he does, he doesn't even wave. He kind of gets it waved down. Another dude waves it down, and then he runs over there and tells the guy he'll pay him for the cab after they have a brief discussion. Guy snakes him legitimately, kind of snakes him for some extra money after they make an agreed price. And as he's paying him, the cab gets taken by somebody else, which happens to be a guy that had the same, this trunk that he sees at one point. And then when he chases it down, he scares the hell out of, which is John Candy's character, Dell, at this point, that you actually get introduced to right this second. You get the first glimpse of him, and then they meet back up at LaGuardia and then go through this spiel about the cab.
I know you, don't I? I'm usually very good with names, but I'll be damned if I haven't forgotten yours.
You stole my cab.
I've never stole anything in my life.
I hailed a cab on Park Avenue this afternoon, and before I could get in it, you stole it.
You're the guy who tried to get my cab. I knew I knew you, yeah. You scared the bejesus out of me. Come to think of it, it was awful easy to get a cab during rush hour.
Forget it.
Oh, I can't forget it. I am sorry. I had no idea that was your cab. Let me make it up to you somehow, huh, please? How about a nice hot dog and a beer?
No thanks.
Just a hot dog, then.
I'm kind of picky about what I eat.
Some coffee?
No.
Milk?
No.
Soda?
No.
Some tea?
No.
Lifesavers?
No.
Slurpee?
Sir, please.
Just let me know. I'm here. I knew you.
And they get on, and Steve Martin's fucking ticket is all messed up because he's supposed to be first class. And that's just silly. That's silly. That goes over pretty funny. And I'm just like, how did they mess this up? How? How would they have messed that up? You paid for first class. And I guess it happens. I guess they oversell first class. I haven't flown since I was 10. And believe you me, it was a different world when I was 10. You could literally go on a plane with like a samurai sword and a box of grenades, and they're just like, have a good day. But now you try that shit, they capped you before you even like walked through the door, which is good for good reason. Why are you trying to step on a plane with a samurai sword and a box of grenades? It just doesn't make any sense. But like, they end up getting diverted to Wichita, and him and Dell have to share a cheap motel together, which is hilarious in a sense. Like, during the bathroom scene, Steve Martin kind of gets screwed over, and Dell spills beer on the bed, and then he's having to sleep in beer, and then he gets super mad at Dale and basically tells that he doesn't like him very much and everything. And then Dale actually, you know, rebuttals to Neil that, you know, he likes him, his wife likes him, his customers like him. You know, screw you, Neil, basically.
Why?
What?
That's it.
If I don't clear my sinuses, I'll snore all night.
Gee, if your kid spills his milk, what do you do, slap him in the head?
What is that supposed to mean?
You're not a very tolerant person.
Look, you've been under my skin since New York, starting with ripping off my cab.
God, you're a tight ass.
How'd you like a mouthful of teeth?
Oh, and hostile, too. Nice personality combination, hostile and intolerant. That's borderline criminal.
Screw you. You spilled beer all over the bed. You smoke. You mess up the bathroom.
Well, who let you stay in the room? I even let you pay for it so you wouldn't feel like an intruder, which you most certainly are.
I'm an intruder.
Yes, you're an intruder. I was having a perfectly nice trip until you walked into my life.
I walked into your life. Who was that who talked my ear off on the plane? Who was that? I'm curious.
Well, who told you to book a room? I did, out of the goodness of my dumb old heart. Boy, you're an ungrateful jackass. Well, go ahead, sleep in the lobby. See if I care. I hope you wake up so stiff you can't even move.
You're no saint. You got a free cab, you got a free room, and someone who'll listen to your boring stories. I mean, didn't you notice on the plane when you started talking, eventually I started reading the vomit bag? Didn't that give you some sort of clue, like, hey, maybe this guy's not enjoying it? You know, everything is not an anecdote. You have to discriminate. You choose things that are funny or mildly amusing or interesting. You're a miracle. Your stories have none of that. They're not even amusing accidentally. Honey, I'd like you to meet Del Griffith. He's got some amusing anecdotes for you. Oh, and here's a gun so you can blow your brains out. You'll thank me for it. I could tolerate any insurance seminar. For days, I could sit there and listen to them go on and on with a big smile on my face. And I'd say, how can you stand it? And I'd say, because I've been with Del Griffith. I can take anything. And you know what they'd say? They'd say, I know what you mean. The shower curtain ring guy. Whoa. It's like going on a date with a chatty Kathy doll. I expect you to have a little string on your chest, you know, that I pull out and have to snap back. Except I wouldn't pull it out and snap it back. You would. And by the way, you know, when you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
You want to hurt me? Go right ahead if it makes you feel any better. I'm an easy target. Yeah, you're right. I talk too much. I also listen too much. I could be a cold-hearted cynic like you. But I don't like to hurt people's feelings. Well, you think what you want about me. I'm not changing. I like me. My wife likes me. My customers like me, because I'm the real article. What you see is what you get.
And Neil calms down. They get over it. And then they try to get on the train the next day after being robbed. Oh, dude. I'm skipping that. I'm skipping a hilarious moment right after that. So they go to bed, get robbed while they're asleep. Some kid comes in and steals all their damn money. He wakes up, they wake up in the morning, cuddled up to each other, and like Dale's like kisses his ear, and he's like, they're all cuddled up. And Steve's like, man, where's your hand, Dale? He's like, it's between two pillows. And he's like, those aren't pillows. And then they freak out. That's pretty funny. And then, you know, they do the whole thing about the Oh, man, you see the game? Yeah, the Bears are great. I think they go all the way this year. Funnily enough, the Bears didn't actually go all the way that year, but they went all the way to the playoffs. They actually did really well that year. Oddly enough, they just kind of lost out and didn't make it to the Super Bowl from everything I've read. So I think that's pretty funny. I was like, that's just a great coincidence in a sense. But they have an issue with breakfast, having, you know, accusing each other of robbing one another there for a moment. Then they get on the train, after which Dale has traded his way onto the train with his shower curtain rings. I want to point out that throughout this entire movie, they just kind of nail the whole salesman aspect with Dale. Like, Dale is the ultimate salesman through the entire film. Like, he basically sells John Candy on the fact that, you know, here, I'm allowing you to pay for this. Here, you can pay for this. Hey, I took your shit, but it's okay. So, applause on that. That's kind of amusing in a lot of senses. So, yeah, I mean, that's pretty good. But they get to the train, and apparently the train breaks down as they finally think they're going on their way, going to get there, and train breaks down. Stupid. It was Contract. That's the name. Contract is the name of the train in there. And I guess it was just a mixture of two train companies. But either way, to which at this point, John Candy and Steve Martin both team back up as Neil grabs Dale's suitcase and helps him trudge through the mud. And they proceed to plot their way to make it even farther to try to get Neil home for his Thanksgiving. And I guess Dale, for the sense of the term right now, get him home as well. And then as they kind of, after they trudge their way through that, they get to another town and they try to attempt to get home by bus, which Dale actually, he gets them tickets. And then they get on the bus, but the tickets are only good for up to like St. Louis. And he neglects to tell Neil about this until, they get to St. Louis. And then they're eating lunch and Neil kind of like gives Dale, John Candy, like a bunch of crap over that. And they get pissed. He gets pissed again. And again, they part ways. This is where the infamous terminal scene comes into play with the rent-a-car, because this is actually what kept the movie from being like PG-13. This right here, this one scene, right after Neil tries to get a car, he gets there and the freaking car is gone. Well, he gets back to the terminal finally, and he just talks to this lady and just drops F-bomb after F-bomb after F-bomb. I think in the span of like 60 seconds, it said that like he said the F-word like 18 times. And I was like, damn, that's a lot of times to just be like, F this and F that.
How may I help you?
You can start by wiping that fucking dumbass smile off your rosy fucking cheeks. Then you can give me a fucking automobile, a fucking Datsun, a fucking Toyota, a fucking Mustang, a fucking Buick, four fucking wheels and a seat.
I really don't care for the way you're speaking to me.
And I really don't care for the way your company left me in the middle of fucking nowhere with fucking keys to a fucking car that isn't fucking there. And I really didn't care to fucking walk down a fucking highway and across a fucking runway to get back here to have you smile at my fucking face. I want a fucking car right fucking now.
May I see your rental agreement?
I threw it away.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy, what?
You're fucked.
So that's actually the only thing that kept this film from actually just being a PG-13 film was that one scene, because he just says it so much. But it's freaking hilarious. Now, as he departs from that particular area, he gets into some guff with this one dude, and then he gets knocked down and almost gets run over by Dale, oddly enough. And dude grabs him up by his balls to help him up to get him into the car, which is ridiculous. And they're riding away, and Steve Martin's voice is just so high. So John Candy, like he's driving down the highway, and he was smoking a cigarette, and he ends up putting it, he throws it out, and it swings back in, and goes in the back seat. And then he ends up getting his jacket caught in both of the mechanisms for the seat, and is literally going down the road at this point with no hands on the wheel. And oddly enough, is not slowing down. Like, you know, it's maybe at some point you would, I mean, I realize he's on the interstate, but it's say, or highway, interstate, you know, either way. But it didn't seem like there was really anybody around. And you could have taken 2 seconds to like slow down and get your arms out of whatever it is you had caught them in. Yeah, it seems like that would have been a really good idea. You know, I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe so. But either way, it's me just kind of nitpicking, I guess. You know, whatever. Whatevs. And then, you know, it causes him to go down the wrong exit, slide out. Everything's up okay. He drives back. Well, he finally gets his coat off. He throws it in the back, right? On top of the what is still left burning cigarette. They drive back, and for some reason, he doesn't decide to turn right back onto the interstate or back onto the highway off the exit. So he can keep going the way he's supposed to go. No, he just drives straight. And then they're driving down the wrong side of the road.
Put your window down!
He wants something.
Probably drunk.
You're going the wrong way!
What?
You're going the wrong way!
He says we're going the wrong way!
Oh, he's drunk! How would he know where we're going?
Yeah, how would he know? Thank you. Thanks a lot. Terrific.
Thank you!
What a moron.
Almost get freaking crushed by 2 semis, spin out, car's pretty messed up. They end up getting out, had to go pick up some of the stuff, and the car catches fire. Yeah. Now, the only issue I really took with this one particular thing, which just kind of doesn't make any sense to me, is Neil threw out, right, was relatively short. And by short, I mean rather short. I mean, like, seriously, it was only like maybe 2 centimeters long, if that. And the length of time that went by from when that was burning to when that happened, I don't know if that should have happened. But it does, and it sets up, and it burns up Neil's wallet, because it was in the glove box. And this is where Dale decides to tell him that, well, he rented the car. And he used his credit card to rent it because somehow it ended up in his wallet.
How could you rent the thing anyway without a credit card? I mean, you couldn't. I mean, how could you do it?
Oh, I gave this gal behind the counter a set of shower curtain rings.
You can't rent a car with shower curtain rings, though.
Well, somehow your Diners Club card wound up in my wallet, and I just...
You stole it!
Not exactly!
You stole
no,
my card!
No, I swear my life, I
know
did.
You stole it!
I did not
you
steal
stole
your
my card! And then you rented a car, and then you burned it up!
I did not! I found it in my
I
wallet!
I knew you stole it!
I thought you put it there!
Why would I put it there?
Kindness?
Kindness? Kindness? You stole it! He stole it!
No, I didn't! No, I didn't! I was gonna send it back to you!
with whatever the rental car charge was, plus interest. But you didn't give me your address. What was I supposed to do? You just ditched me. I had no money. I had no cards. I had nothing.
Give it back.
I can't.
Why not?
Because.
Because why?
Because when we stopped the gas up, I put the card back in your wallet.
Alrighty. So that's funny. That's friggin' ridiculous. And from there, they like literally drive this burnt ass car until they get to his hotel. They stay at the hotel. They then leave the next day and run through the side of the hotel, which is freaking hilarious. Like, it just boom, drive away, drive the hell away. It's fucking great. But in the end, I mean, in the end, there's a whole bunch of hilarious moments in this movie. I've kind of run it down, just sitting here describing most of the movie. Probably I'm trying to get the hang of this. But it, like you say, either way, like this movie, after this, they finally kind of get through a lot of things. Of course, they get stopped in the car and it gets towed away. Blah blah blah. They finally ended up getting tickets on the train to get into to get him the rest of the way to Chicago, and they go there, and then they separate ways, and on the way the rest of the way to his house, he thinks about the stuff that Dale has said to him, and then realizes that Dale's wife has died, and then invites him over for Thanksgiving and all this. So regardless of the fact that throughout this whole thing, they've kind of been just like tearing each other down in a lot of ways, they become really good friends, because I mean, like in the last few days that they've been together, you know, they've gone through a bunch of really crazy stuff. So I mean, it's pretty wild in a sense. And of course, the movie ends with them in the house, and you get that pan in of John Candy, and he's sitting there smiling, which is the same exit they used for Uncle Buck. Yeah. But, so there's that. But seriously, the movie is really fantastic. I really, really enjoy this movie. It's worth watching. You should definitely see it. If you've never seen it, then, you're missing out. Like, really, you're missing out. And, you should really up your resume and, add this one to the list of, haves and not have-nots. So I'm not necessarily going to rate it in a sense. I'm going to guess I'll give it a general now in Technicolor rating, which is a pretty wild scale. If you're pretty familiar with it, it is literally case of 40s, case six-pack 40, going to sleep, and coma. And of course, I'm not giving this a coma. I would easily give this movie a case. I'd easily give it a case. It's a great, great movie, and I thoroughly enjoy it. Now, there's kind of, I guess I should have pointed out while I was talking about it, especially the scene with all the F-bombs, was that's actually the scene that made Steve Martin want to join the production of the film, which really made me laugh. They couldn't get any actual people that wanted to act like they were incompetent, you know, any transportation companies. They were like, no, we're not going to do this. So they ended up having to like rebuild 20 miles of old track and everything for the train scene. And, they had to build a airport terminal, and I'd rent like 250 cars for the rent a car thing. So I thought that was wild. But, in all honestly, the one particular thing that I found that really kind of just made me go, what the fuck, when I read it. Now, I was looking at different things for the movie and just kind of looking into it. I could have gone over more of that, but during that, and I'll try to improve upon that as I do these, was Del Griffith vampire. Now, that's what I wrote down. That was my note. It's a vampire ? Because there was a thing I read that said in the original cut of the film, of the original script of the film, Del Griffith is supposed to be a vampire dead set on getting Neil, Steve Martin's character, to invite him into his home. because vampires, you know, have to be invited in and blah, blah, blah. So that, I guess, so that we could turn him into a vampire, eat him. I'm not sure. But then after seeing the onstage chemistry of John Candy and Steve Martin, he decided to wipe the whole vampire idea. Of course, this is a John Hughes film, and I should have honestly said something about that at the very beginning of the show, not at the end. But what are you going to do? Yeah, I don't understand. I do not understand. Why would he be a vampire? Why would this Thanksgiving film have been a vampire film? Now, mind you, I would have watched it, and I'd probably laugh my ass off at the very end if he had been a vampire. It's like you go through this whole thing, and then at the very end, he's like, you know, with the vampire fangs and, like, you know, the eyes. He's just like, I'm going to suck. That's fucking stupid. But in all honesty, that would have been fucking ridiculous. Now I'm dropping F-bombs. But that would have been ridiculous to see John Candy, vampire, at the end of Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. It just huge left, you know, huge left field out of nowhere. So damn. But all right. So that was Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Thank you so much for sitting and listening to me ramble on about this. Hopefully we've had some fun, and then I can hopefully improve upon this as I'm going. Like I say, I'm not used to doing this by myself, but I think it went okay. I think it went all right. What do y'all think? You think it went okay? Maybe. Okay. Maybe. No. I fucking suck. Yeah, that's what I thought. But no. In all seriousness, it's all right. But there is one final thing I want to leave you with, and that's the Podfix Network. We have been featured on the Podbean and Podbean app specifically that I know of, and I think Podbean in general. We are one of the featured network on that hosting provider at the moment. So if you're using Podbean, the Podbean app, you should definitely check that out. Maybe check out the show, other shows on the network. That's the Podfix Network. You can check that at podfixnetwork.com. We have 16 great shows that are really fantastic. Like I said, if you need to toast your bread, there's always some fire on Podfix. Screw me. But in all seriousness, yes, you should definitely check that out. But you can check out Now in Technicolor on your Google search engine. Just type that in. You're going to find me wherever you can find us. And because, I mean, yeah, at this point, whatever you're listening to me on, you pretty much know how to find the show if you're listening to this. So, yeah. Mind blow. But all right, everybody. This has been really great. It's been fantastic. And, take care and stay colorful.
Check out more shows like it at PodfixNetwork.com.